I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which he's called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath both made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Amen. This morning we looked at Psalm 71, and I want to return to that psalm this evening. We'll just read the first seven verses though. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continue resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. And we do ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. As we considered this morning, we're not sure who wrote this psalm, but some do say that David wrote the psalm. But we do know that it was a psalm written in old age, as we read in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. And also verse 18, Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. But it is written by a man who had faith, that opening statement, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. A wonderful statement of faith, a statement of faith that we should all have, that we all need. Written by a man who was concerned to pray to his God, a man that had known various trials, that had been influenced by those trials, that had known tribulation throughout his life, but knew the way to overcome these trials. Verse 4 says, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Verse 10, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. And then in verse 20, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Although he'd been through these times of difficulties and trials, he still trusted in the Lord. These experiences and difficulties had influenced his life, had strengthened his faith, but also made him a man of prayer, someone that realized the importance of prayer. In his old age, he still needed the Lord. He realized in his old age, as his body grew weaker, he still needed faith. He still needed to trust the Lord. He still needed to look to the Lord for protection, for strength, for preserving. And all throughout his life, he was able to look back in his old age and see God's providential dealings with him, from the very fact that he was safely delivered of his mother. He was born at that appointed time, and the Lord made sure that he was safely delivered. The Lord, as I said, had preserved him through various sore troubles, as we saw in verse 20. He could look back over a life and see the Lord's hand had been upon him. And so that had helped and strengthened his faith and causes him to pray this prayer. He had wisdom through old age, and he acknowledges the Lord's providence in keeping him. Verse 6 again, as we've seen, how he acknowledges that the Lord had preserved him from birth. And the psalmist, because of all that he experienced, he prays this prayer, let me never be put to confusion. He had been through life, and he didn't want to go back to confusion, back to sin. As we saw from Psalm 31, he didn't want to be ashamed, because he knew that if he was confused, if he was put to confusion, if he was ashamed, he'd be turning his back on the Lord in whom he had just declared that he had trusted, in the Lord that had been faithful all these years. And so he prays, let me never be put to confusion. And we saw the similarities of the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ instructs us in, deliver us from temptation. But as I read this psalm, I was very struck by that phrase in verse 7 that the psalmist says. He says, I am a wonder unto many. I am a wonder unto many. And as you consider this phrase, it's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Can it be said of you that you are a wonder to many? Do people look on your life, your testimony, your witness, and wonder about you? They looked on the psalmist and they wondered about him. There was something unusual. There was something different about him. And so it is to be with the believer. We're to be a wonder to the many in the world. There's something to be different about our life, about our lifestyle, about how we go about our daily affairs. The psalmist was obviously a wonder because the Lord had answered that prayer and he wasn't put to confusion. He wasn't tossed about by all that's going on. He was not ashamed to say, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. He was not ashamed to pray. He would pray. He would pray regularly. He would pray for deliverance. He would pray for help. He would acknowledge that the Lord had kept him, had sustained him, that the Lord had been good to him. And as a consequence, he was a wonder. He was different from those all around about. The wicked had tried to persecute him, tried to turn him away from his God. But no, he knew the Lord's strength. He had prayed for strength. He had resorted to the Lord in prayer. The Lord had helped him. The Lord had held him up. And the Lord had been with him. And as a consequence, he was a wonder to those round about. But also this word wonder could also be translated as a portent. I am a portent unto many. A portent is a sign or a warning of a momentous or calamitous event that is likely to happen. And we, as people who trust in the Lord, are to be that portent, that warning to the many, to warn men and women to flee from the wrath to come, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell people about sin and the consequences of sin, that the wrath of God will indeed fall upon them unless they repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to warn of that coming judgment. And so, as I said, this verse is a challenge to every believer, to everyone that trusts in the Lord. Am I a wonder to many? Am I a wonder to at all? But we need to be a wonder for the right reasons. And the right reasons the psalmist gives us. In verse 7 he says, I am a wonder to many, but thou art my strong refuge. He's a wonder to many because God was his refuge. God was his strength. God was his trust. It's on the Lord alone that he relied. He wasn't relying on his own strength, on his own wisdom, on his own wit, or whatever. He was relying upon the Lord. As we saw from this morning in those verses, in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Deliver me in thy righteousnesses. Not in his works he wasn't relying on. He was relying on the works of Christ. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation where I may continue resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Because the psalmist had trusted the Lord, indeed, as we read there, from his youth, that he was a wonder to many. Again, as I mentioned this morning, so many people say that to young people, you will grow out of your faith, but you'll be a wonder to them in your old age when you still say that you trust in the Lord. As you trust as a young person in your old age, people will wonder. They will look back and marvel, especially when they can look back over your life and see how you have weathered those various storms, that you haven't been put to confusion by those tragedies that each one of us encounters in our life, because we have trusted in the Lord. The Lord has been our help, our strong habitation. And so how often, when you've been talking to people, when you've said that you're a Christian, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the reply has been, you believe that? The world wonders that you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a stumbling block to many. Or you go on and say that you believe the Bible is the word of God, and they might nod half in agreement. But then when you say from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God, it's the truth, they then ask askance, what about evolution? You don't believe the Lord God created everything. And you say, he did. The Lord has created in 6 days. They will wonder at you. But that's the testimony that we're to bear unto the many, to be that portent to that warning, that God's word is the truth, that what God has said he will do, that indeed that he has worked it out. And so the very fact that we have faith is a wonder to so many round about. Again, when you're discussing your faith or talk to people about your salvation, they will be amazed. They will quote various people that will say that God doesn't exist, the great atheist of the day or the time, and they will wonder that you have faith. Why do you have faith? Why do you believe? You're a wonder to many. And so faith and belief is the first wonder to many men, that you do believe in the Lord God, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are trusting him for your salvation. We might not have a dramatic testimony. We might not have been a drunkard, suddenly converted and changed. But each one of us, if we have trust in the Lord, if we have repented of our sins and believed, we will be a changed person. That's what it means to be born again. There will be a difference in our life, and we will be a wonder to many when they consider our witness and our testimony, when we say and when we speak about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So often, it can be such a small thing that people wonder at. I'll just give a personal example which amazed me really. When I was working one day, I hit my thumb with a hammer and gave myself a big black nail. And I said to the office, I've just hit myself with a hammer. And one of the girls said, I bet you swore. And before I could say anything, someone said, David never swears. It was a wonder to him that even with hitting my thumb with a hammer, I didn't swear. And so our testimony can be the smallest thing, but it's a wonder to the world. The world behaves in a certain way, but if we've trusted in the Lord, we don't behave that way. We'll be a wonder to those round about. And again, as I said, I can remember in my youth coming home and talking to my parents that I'd found faith. They looked at me and said, words to this effect, you will grow out of it, but I still believe. I'm a wonder to those that knew me in my youth. I haven't grown out of my faith. If anything, I've grown in my faith. I am stronger now in my belief and my defence of the truth than I ever was. And before I go any further, let us acknowledge that our faith, our trust in the Lord, it is nothing that we have done. It is nothing that it's not because of who we are, it's because of the love of God. It is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I read Ephesians chapter 2, where we read, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. It's nothing that we could do. Before we trusted in the Lord, as we read there, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, in his infinite love, has quickened us, has granted us the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 8 we read, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It's that gift of God. We can't do anything. We can't boast of anything. All we can say that God, in his love, has saved us, has granted us grace. But we're called to be that workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works. And if we are, we will be that wonder to the many as they look on our changed life. And so remember, it's nothing that we have done. It is all of God, our salvation. It's all of grace. And we can look back to our natural inclination before we were converted. I had no interest in the Bible. I had no interest in the church. I had no interest in praying. But now I delight to come to church. I read the Bible, the Word of God. I pray to God. What a wonder. What a transformation I can look in my life. I'm a wonder to myself when I consider what I was. And I'll be a wonder to those round about. And so if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we can express those sentiments in the psalm, in Psalm 71, about his faith, about how he prays, how he asks the Lord to deliver him, how he declares that the Lord is his rock, his fortress, how we can look back and see how the Lord has preserved and kept us throughout our lives, we will be a wonder to many. Before, as I said, we had no interest in God's word. We wouldn't acknowledge God's dealings. We wouldn't acknowledge that the Lord was the creator of heaven and earth, that he created the world in 6 days. And so the Lord, the psalmist is a wonder to many because of his belief, because of his trust, because of his faith. And we are a wonder to the many if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in all this, the psalmist again, he's declaring it's not of his works. As I've said, deliver me in thy righteousness. It's the Lord that has been his strength, the Lord that has helped. And the emphasis is on the Lord, and that is why he is a wonder unto many. Again, our testimony is a wonder to those round about. We don't have to do much, but if we're faithful to God's word, if we're seeking to follow God's word, we will appear as a wonder to those round about. The psalmist prayed, let me never be put to confusion. And the saint, the believer, the one who has trust in God, has that peace, has that ability to rest in the Lord. In all the confusion of all that's going on in the world, men and women can run round like headless chickens. But we know that the sovereign Lord is working out his purposes, that he has raised up those rulers, that he will cast those rulers down, that he will accomplish his purposes. We may not understand it, but we have prayed not to be put to confusion. We can find strength in the Lord, and so we don't run round like the world in confusion. Our trust is in the Lord and in what he has said. And we trust because of his word. Again, if you own up to believing the word of God, the Bible is the word of God, you'll be a wonder to many. Again, all the retorts, I expect you've had them all the time. What about evolution? What about the miracles of Christ? I believe that Christ performed those miracles that are recorded for us in the Gospels. I believe that Christ was born of a virgin. You repeat again that the Bible is the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's true. It's the truth. And it's been recorded of what has happened, what is going to happen as well. You'll be a wonder to many. You'll be that portent to many. You will be that warning. But should you admit that you have doubts about the Bible being the word of God, that you're not sure about those first few chapters of Genesis, you're being put to confusion. You will cease to be a wonder because you're going with the world. You're doubting the word of God. Again, that's why the psalmist prayed, let me never be put to confusion. And because the Lord answered that prayer, he was a wonder to many. If you cease to believe the word of God, if you cease to have complete and utter trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, if you believe that you can do something to earn your salvation, you won't be a wonder to the world. You'll be becoming like the world. And so the psalmist prayed, and he was a wonder to the world. And in Psalm 31 and verse 1 we read, didn't we? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. If you're ashamed of your God, the world will cease to wonder. In fact, you're becoming like the world because you don't have that faith in the Lord. You don't have that trust in the Lord. If you're ashamed of your God, you're on that slippery slope of confusion again, and you'll cease to be a wonder because the world is ashamed of God. The world is not interested in God. The world has turned its back upon God. And as I said, we will cease to be that wonder. We will cease to be that portent, that living ambassador for God. We will cease to be that witness for our Saviour. But if we're like Paul, we can say, for this cause, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. We will be a wonder. People of faith, people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are a wonder to many. And again, prayer. People that have seen us coming to the church tonight to pray, to worship. People that saw us coming to the church in the morning, wondering what we're doing, wondering that we're going to come twice to worship the Lord God, wonder that we will offer up prayers. I love it when we read about the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 9. And the Lord said unto Ananias, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas, for one calleth Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Something wonderful, something amazing. The persecutor of the church, the persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ, prays. He prays to the Lord God. Wonderful, amazing. A strange sight for Ananias to observe. And so it is with us when we pray. It's a wonder to those that observe, to those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is a wonder to so many. They can't understand it. They can't understand how we can commune with the thrice holy God, why we have that desire to commune with the thrice holy God, why we persevere in prayer, why we acknowledge that the Lord does indeed answer prayer. These are all strange things to the many that look on. But if we're a praying people, we'll be a wonder to those round about. And so we should regularly pray, daily pray, hourly pray, pray in the church, pray in the church meeting. It is all a wonder to the many, to those round about. But remember, it is regular prayer, persevering prayer. The non-believer is very good at praying in a time of crisis. But the believer prays daily, indeed hourly. I remember hearing of a saint that went through the First World War, and he said, when the shells were flying over the trenches, there was no one there that didn't pray, that didn't believe in God. But when the shells ceased, they ceased praying. But the believer continues to pray. Even when the sunshine, he prays. He can thank the Lord for the sunshine. He can rejoice in the Lord's goodness. He can pray for that preserving and that keeping power for when those times of trials and testing. And so the psalmist, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. As I said, confusion arises when we cease to pray, when we cease to trust in the Lord. And those Ten Commandments, again, if we're seeking to follow them, it will be a wonder to those round about to say that the Word of God those Ten Commandments, are relevant now and just as important now as when they were first forgiven. For the just society, they'll wonder at you. They will consider that you're mad. But again, if you just consider the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. People have ignored that. And look at the confusion that reigns now. We have abortion, euthanasia, and all these other things. But if we say, thou shalt not kill, and that includes abortion, we don't believe in euthanasia. We're a wonder to those that look on. Again, I've just said, if we keep the Sabbath day, the number of people that have said to me, because they've seen me walking to the church, it might have been a shopkeeper or people I've worked with, you go to church. It's a wonder to them. It's our witness. We don't have to say anything, just our manner of life. Keeping the Lord's commandment is a wonder to many. And it's a visual way that we can show that we're the Lord's people, that we have faith in the Lord God, that we keep the Sabbath day, that we attend church twice a day. Amazement to anybody that we go once, but we go twice on the Lord's day. We attend in smart clothing, showing that we're coming to worship the Lord God, that we have reverence and fear for his great and his holy name. We don't work on the Lord's day. The number of people that say if we work on the Lord's day, we get double the money. But we're not covetousness, because that's what the Lord commands. And they wonder that we're laying up treasure in heaven and not on earth. If we do these things, if we keep God's law, we will indeed be a wonder to many. Again, you can consider the other commandments. As I mentioned this morning, marriage, a father and a mother. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Again, didn't happen to me, but talking to some young people, they were talking about getting married, Christians, and when they said that they hadn't cohabited, the people at the work were amazed. How do you know? No, these young believers were going to keep God's law, keep his commandments, and they were a wonder to many because they were keeping God's law. They were allowing God's law to rule their life, to rule their lusts and their passions. They were faithful to God's word, and they were a wonder to many. And because all our aspects in our life should be influenced by God's word, and if we allow God's word to influence our life, our speech, our friendship, our activities, we will be a wonder. And the way in which the believer deals with the various events in life, again, a wonder. As the psalmist says in verse 20, thou which has showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. The way that the Lord helps us through the trials, only the believer can show a faithful witness and test me through it. Again, an example that I can give you of the providential dealings of the Lord, the way the Lord helps his children. A lady I know suffered a miscarriage, and in hospital talking to one of the nurses said, how do people cope and survive such a trauma? And the nurse said, they become bitter and twisted. But because this lady was a believer, she didn't become bitter and twisted. She could acknowledge the Lord keeping, the Lord helped and preserved her through that, led her through it, and she didn't become bitter and twisted. Because it's only the saint that can say, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes. Again, if we can say all things work together, when that calamity, as the world would call it, befalls, but we know behind that providential dealing is our Lord God, and he will help us through. He will see us through. We'll be a wonder to many. Look at Job. He's an example of a wonder to many. Those experiences that Job went through, the news of that carnage visited upon his family and his household. What does Job say? Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amazing reaction. What's the normal reaction of the world to a calamity? We hear it all the time. There's been a tragedy of one sort or another. The non-believer shakes their fist at God. The non-believer curses God and says, How can God exist? The believer says, The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a wonder to many because they don't have the faith. They don't have the belief in God. They can't cope with the tragedies of life. They can't cope with the difficulties of life. And so we have considered briefly how the saint, the believer, is a wonder to many in his life. But let us also say that the way the saint dies is also a wonder to many in death. We have that example of all the Christian martyrs. They would not deny their God. They would rather die than deny the faith. They chose death, often painful deaths, rather than deny their Lord. What a wonder to the world as he looks on. Even now we read of believers that are slaughtered because of their faith. We can't understand it. It's a wonder as we look on, but it's a wonder as the world looks on. But not all saints are called to be martyrs. But we know of believers as they face illness, as they face a terminal illness. They might be young, they might be old, but they don't fret, they don't worry. They say quietly and they accept their condition, the Lord's dealings with them. And then they say something like, I'm going home. They have peace. Peace that the world can't give. Peace that the doctors can't give, that the medical profession can't give. But because they trust in the Lord, they have that faith, that peace. They know that they're going to a better place. It's a wonder to those that look on, to those that care for them, to those that are concerned for them. The Lord is gracious in life. He's gracious in death because he draws especially close to the saints. The Apostle Paul says, I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we were made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. The Apostle Paul, in his death, was made that spectacle, that wonder, the way he died for his faith, a wonder to those that looked on. The world looks on, and let us also never forget that not only is the world looking on, as we've read, but angels look on and wonder as well. At the Lord's dealings with men, the Lord's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, taking upon himself the body of a man in order that he might lay down his life to redeem us. As we read in Hebrews, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Christ died for fallen man. Christ did not come to die for fallen angels. They were cast out of heaven. Salvation is a wonder to the angels as they look on. They wonder at the salvation of men. So we're not only a wonder to the many in the world, we're also a wonder to those angels in heaven. But as we finish, we've considered the first part of this verse as a wonder unto many. But of course, the greatest wonder of all is the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. As the prophecy of Isaiah says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. He's a wonder to me that he should love me. He's a wonder to the world. He might be an enigma to the world, but he is wonderful. God's Son, leaving the glory of heaven to take upon himself human flesh, to be born of a babe, to live in this world, to lie down his life in order that we might be redeemed. What a wonderful, amazing that the Lord has done. And then throughout his life, the Lord was a wonder. In Luke, we read of him when he goes up to the temple for the first time. In Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 48, what do we read about him? It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the middle of the doctors, both hearing them, asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. They were amazed, they wondered at his knowledge, at his understanding. And throughout his life, he has been a wonder. And when he was come into his own country and taught them in their synagogue, insomuch they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" Astonished at the Lord Jesus Christ, they wondered at who the Lord Jesus Christ was, wondered at his miracles, the way that he restored the sight of the blind, restored the lame, that restored the sick, that revived the dead. All wonderful works. The Lord Jesus Christ is a wonder to many. And then we have the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, at his arrest, at his trial, at his crucifixion. No wonder that centurion said in Matthew's gospel, "Now when the centurion and that they were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Wondered at the one they had just crucified, because the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful, and he should always be a wonder to us. Christ is truly a wonder in many ways. And whilst we have the time, whilst we have the opportunity, let us wonder on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Let us take heed to the warning that his life is. He is indeed that portent. Remember, as he ascended up into heaven, he said that he would return again, and he is coming again. But this time, he will come to judge the world in righteousness. It will be an amazing sight. For those that have wandered on Christ in this life, it will be a wonderful sight. But for those that won't look at Christ, it will be a terrible sight. And so let us learn these lessons from the psalmist. Let us have faith. Let us trust in the Lord God. Let us trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray that we're never led in confusion. Let us seek to keep his commandments, and to be a wonder to many, to be that witness, to be that portent, to warn men and women to flee from the wrath to come. And the Lord will help us. The Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will enable us to do these things if we look unto him for help and strength. And as we close this morning, we will praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord because he answers our prayer. We will indeed have lips loosened to rejoice in him when we sing unto him. We will be able to sing with a soul that we have been redeemed by him. And our tongue will be able to talk of his righteousness all the day long. We will see all those round about confounded, for they will be brought unto shame, those that have seek to hurt us and to do us down. And so let us be like the psalmist, have trust in our Lord and pray, praying above all that we're not put to confusion, and that we would indeed be a wonder unto many. Amen.
Amen.
Let us close with the singing of hymn number 695. "So let our lips and our lives express the holy gospel we profess, So let our works and virtue shine to prove the doctrine all divine. Hymn number 695. God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.